What's up, friends? I'm Maddie.
And I'm Reeves.
And we're the Oh God Podcast.
We're a faith podcast where people can come together and ask questions, deconstructing faith, reconstructing faith, creating an inclusive community where people can come together and form community through community. Because I just said community 8,000 times.
We love community here. We love community. So welcome to a faith community that redefines faith in the world that isn't as black and white as the church may make it seem.
Community. Okay.
Rapes! I'm so excited for this episode.
I know you are. As we were like re-listening, I could hear your excitement in your voice as you're talking to our special guest, Charity, who you just like were screaming with excitement. Like I could hear it in your voice. It was so good.
I am always screaming with excitement when I get to talk to Charity. So this is a special episode for a few different reasons. One is that this is an episode where we interviewed Pastor Charity Goodwin around emotional health. And so that's what we're talking about in this episode. But it's also a special episode because of everything that it took to make this episode happen. We interviewed Charity, I mean, months ago. We interviewed her a long time ago. But it was like our first real interview and we were doing it over Zoom. And I feel like everything that could have possibly made this like the most difficult episode ever happened.
Like truly, that's an understatement. Because we were supposed to, we knew we were going to be calling Charity, but then like we were supposed to, I think, get together and do that. But then I think it was the weekend of the Super Bowl. So like, you were back home and the weather was horrible. There was like a big freeze the next day. And so like you literally could not drive your car.
Yeah, I couldn't leave. Uh-huh. It was also the weekend that I adopted Maisie.
Yes.
And she's a snorer.
Yeah.
Oh, and we learned this in this episode because she laid next to me and snored so loud that we had to work very hard to edit her out. Danny,
and by we,
thank you.
We mean Danny.
Thank you for that. We love having her in the room, but not when she's sleeping because you will hear nothing.
She is very much a snorer and it's really adorable. But yeah, so if you listen closely, you can kind of hear Maisie snoring in the background, which is just like really cute and, you know, a little bonus.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
We love a little pup action in the I don't know what I'm trying to say.
And then I completely neglected to record myself, just my audio while we were recording. So like I was in like my office and was trying to, we were going to, neither of us had mics. So I was going to record on my phone into the GarageBand app because like that's supposed to be pretty good. Like your phone audio is like actually pretty good. And per Danny's recommendation, we would both just record into GarageBand. Although that was my first time using the GarageBand app on your phone and it like only auto records for like a certain amount of time. And then if your phone like turns off, the recording turns off. I realized like halfway through the episode, I looked down. I was like, oh God, no. Oh God. And I literally like in the Zoom call was like, my audio has not been recording. So we cut that bad boy out. But anyway, so my recording is the Zoom recording. So you're
welcome. All of this to say, there is a lot of love that went into this episode in editing and also in content. And that's why I'm the most excited to finally have this ready for all of you to hear. Pastor Charity and I have worked together in the past. So we actually met when we were serving at the same church. And then she now works for the gathering in St. Louis. She is the site leader of their Clayton site. And so she's doing awesome work there. But she's also an emotional health coach. And I think when it comes to ministry and working alongside someone, that to me was like one of the biggest blessings was being able to do that with her and to learn from her and what it looks like to grow an emotionally healthy faith.
Yeah. Even as we were like re-listening to release this episode, I was like making notes because there were so many things that like are definitely impactful and relevant to where I am. And I always struggle to note what my emotions are. And so I'm a big proponent of the feelings wheel, which she references several times. But yeah, it was honestly just a blessing to have her on. So we're really excited for you guys to listen.
Yeah.
Hi, welcome to the Oh God Podcast. My name is Reeves.
And I'm Maddie.
And today we're talking with Reverend Charity Goodwin about the relationship between emotional health as a spiritual practice. Hi, Charity. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what you do?
Hey, everybody. You all, thanks for having me. I'm excited to join you today. I'm Reverend Charity Goodwin, and I live in the great city of St. Louis, Missouri. I'm a United Methodist pastor. I'm a mama of two boys who I call my boy Joys, and I serve at the Gathering United Methodist Church here in St. Louis, Missouri.
I am so excited to have a conversation with you on the podcast. So excited. Charity and I worked together for, 3 years? 2 years?
So, I guess, two? Yeah.
Felt like a million. It was great. I absolutely love you, love the work that you do, love the wisdom that you bring, and especially around emotional health. I think I personally grew so much being able to learn from you and work with you and see the way that you live this out every day. And so I can't wait to talk about emotional health and what it means to you in the context of a spiritual journey and how important it is to have some kind of practice. And so thinking about your emotional health journey, like what was the thing that kind of kicked all of this off for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so definitely struggle. I have been in therapy for a while, which has been good and helpful. I became a mom. And so I remember when I was pregnant with my first child, that's when I first started going to therapy, like, I don't want to screw this up. And so I remember, going to therapy, right? So it was good. It was important. But really what birthed me into my own, like beyond therapy, like really figuring out what do I do with all this stuff that I'm feeling, is when I had what I call an emotional heart attack. It was a Friday day, and I was on my Sabbath. So my plan was to go do some shopping. I love to estate sales and garage sales and that kind of thing. And I remember coming back home after taking the boys to school, and I had like this massive pain in my back and I couldn't shake it. Then, you know, when you have like crazy pain, you start thinking it's everywhere in your body. So I don't know if it really was, but I thought it was. And so literally I thought I was having a heart attack. And long story short, I called an ambulance. I had never called 911 ever in my life for anything. I'm like in my 30s, like, what is happening? Mm-hmm. And they test me out. They said they couldn't find anything. And one of the guys, I remember one of the EMTs asked me, so do you think you could be stressed out or, you know, about anything going on? And like, I'm a pastor, but I cuss a little bit under my breath. And so I'm sure I had some cuss words for him in my mind that didn't come out. But literally at the time I was serving two churches. I had two small boys. One of my sons had been diagnosed with autism. All of that was impacting my marriage and family. It was a lot going on. And I didn't deal with any of this. I just was making stuff happen, right? Like I was just going through my day and getting things done, because that's the sign of you being okay, is that you get ish done, right? So for me, that had been, that was the wake up call that there was other stuff happening that I wasn't dealing with. Instead, I was just packing it down as far as it could go. Like, and so my body told on me, right? It was the tattletale. And for a lot of us, that is what happens.
Yeah.
Our body lets us know something just ain't right. And so that's what happened to me. And that began me really, really learning more personally, and then eventually, you know, doing certifications and things to help other people.
Yeah. Man, I feel like everything that you talk about when you talk about just like suppressing things until one day you physically can't push them down anymore, mm-hmm. like that resonates with me. And I feel that connects to like every conversation I've had around learning how to feel big feelings and process your emotions, is that we're very emotionally avoidant. And when hard things happen, like we don't really, I don't want to deal with them. I don't want to have to sit in that hard thing and process it out. And so I just act like it's not there until eventually, you know, you're having anxiety attacks, panic attacks. Your body just kind of, like you said, tattles on you. I resonate with that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Reeves.
It's so crazy, the fact that like the body can really do that, you know, like even if you're not able to really process your own emotions, the mm-hmm. fact that your body does that. And it's kind of terrifying. I had, you know, my first panic attack, I didn't know what was happening either. I thought that I had mm-hmm. some sort of asthma or early, I was literally 14. I was like, there's no way I'm having a heart attack, but mm-hmm. it's just crazy how your body can tell you something's wrong before you even really like recognize that's there. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Brené Brown talks about how the body gets first crack at our emotions because we feel them, literally feel them in our physical being. And then we begin to say like, oh, that's fear or oh, that's excitement or whatever. Like we feel it first. And so there really is a need, I think, when we begin to talk about spirituality and faith and all of these things, that we reintegrate what it means to trust the body in addition to, you know, because in trusting the body, then we're going to be hopefully tending to those emotions as they, you know, attach themselves to those in a positive way. When I say triggers, right? That whatever that thing is in your physical being. And unfortunately, I mean, I won't go on too bad of a rant, but, you know, unfortunately, the church, I mean, those are two things we don't do much with. We don't talk much about the body, and we definitely, you know, see emotions as sometimes counter to faith. You know, like, don't let your emotions lead you astray, as if. And so, yeah. So really, emotions are data, right? They're information. They can tell you things. And so it doesn't mean that because you feel something, you have to, you know, do whatever that is. But it's telling you like, oh, pay attention. Something's going on here. Mm-hmm. You can do some more things with that emotion later on. But I think just first noticing, paying attention and naming it. So we don't get a lot of, we don't get taught a lot about that in church. I've been saying that I'm really grateful for my sort of church upbringing. But it's this kind of work that's actually helped me put my faith into practice.
Yeah.
That's huge.
I also, as you were talking about trusting our bodies, I also think, I wonder how much of that also plays into just like the overarching body positivity movement as a whole as well. Because I think if we're already not thinking about our emotions and how they're impacting our bodies, chances are it's not really coming to mind when we're thinking about the way that we treat our bodies, the way that we fuel our bodies, the way that we like perceive and appreciate our bodies. And so I don't know, to me, it was like, we're already not doing that. And then we're not factoring in the fact that they're doing all of this emotional work for us as well. And just how powerful our bodies actually are, like what they're capable of.
Yeah. I mean, I have some affirmations around body because, I mean, there is no one who has been with me the whole time, but my body has, right? Because wherever I am, my body is there. And so the things that I have overcome, the things I've succeeded at, whatever it is, like there is, my body has been with me. And so, I mean, I try to really, and not just in a sort of body, if you will, body positivity. I'm trying to think, because recently we did some conversations about, even instead of being body positive, that person could be body neutral. And so for some people, that's even a better sometimes way mm-hmm. to think about it. Like, you know, I don't have to just say everything's great. And you know that you really don't feel that way, mm-hmm. but to maybe feel neutral about it, you know, one way or another, it doesn't have to like change.
Yeah.
Like it just is what it is. But in addition to that, I can't really preach on body neutrality. I think I just learned that recently. I think it's really helpful. One of the tools I use is just self-compassion. And so like, I thank my body for getting me through some hard times. I thank my body for signaling to me that something wasn't right. You know, I thank my body for breastfeeding these babies that are growing to be taller than me now and all the things, right? Like, there are ways that I try to offer compassion back to myself, as it relates to my body and, you know, for warning me of things. You know, we get gut instincts, we get all those things, and intuition. I think we need to pay attention to that. And I believe all of that is also all from God. Like all of mm-hmm. this is, you know, who we are, like divinely, uniquely, this ingenuity of God in creation. And I think we've just sort of pushed it over to the side and went for a straight sort of head approach to sometimes a head and a hand approach, like work yourself out of it, think your way out of it, whatever. But you definitely don't do much sometimes with the heart and the emotion around feeling and allowing all of that to be, I say, to be integrated, right? Like all three, head, heart, and hands. I mean, I'm Methodist, like that's important to me. And I believe what it means to be whole, what it means to be saved, what salvation is the integration of all those things. And so I think we have a lot of folks, you know, walking around, you know, limping, right? Because we're working out of our head or our hands or just our heart, right? And it's all of those things. And so finding ways to bring it all together and you know, letting the journey be what it is. It's going to be messy and all the things, but trying, you know, let's strive in this way.
Right. So. Yeah.
That's really beautiful. The idea of just having to integrate all three of those things. Like we can't be whole, you know, with just two, with just one, but it's the all three coming together. What do you feel like, what role does emotional health play in your spirituality or just spirituality in general?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's part of, for me, it's become part of the, you know, the way I breathe. And breath is really important, I think, to this work. Breath, you know, God, and the breath and creation, all of this, right? I think there's something really important about breathing and catching your breath, about slowing down. And that's what a lot of what allows me to practice the emotional intelligence is sort of like emotional intelligence or emotional health is sort of taking those moments, you know, instead of going from one thing to the next so quickly, I just take moments in between. Maybe it's even to celebrate that I just finished whatever that was, or to feel proud or whatever it is before I just jump into the next thing. And so taking these mini Sabbaths, right, these mini breaths throughout the day, for me, particularly in transitions, has been really helpful. And I say that because I used to, you know, just go so fast, I couldn't tell you what I did in a day, but I got a lot done. And so now I feel a little more grounded. And breath helps us do that. Just kind of come back to center, recalibrate.
Yeah.
And I think that's just so important. And it can, of course, be that reflection point. So taking the breath and feeling like, oh, there's something tense in my body right there. What is that? And so I think breath is a really foundational, I think, for starting this process out.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that I definitely picked up in our time being able to work together and being in the same space, is that you really do that so well. Like I can even see when you've kind of stopped, you pause, you take a breath, you sit in it for a second, and then you figure out where you're going next. And that's something that I really have tried to pick up on myself, because I've been able to see the way that it actually centers you enough to move into the next thing. And that was not anything that I was doing before that. I was very much a bulldozer. Still am a lot of the time. But I think that I can attest to seeing the way that that breath really does center and ground you as you move forward. In this too, I think sometimes emotional health and mental health are similar, but I also feel like they have some key differences. Like, what do you see the differences being between mental health and emotional health?
Yeah, so like not being a mental health professional, I think what I'm learning is one of the biggest differences is when I'm talking about emotional health, I'm really talking about sort of this expression of emotions or navigating emotions. And we're talking in a small space, right? The emotional space. In mental health, people would be talking about the social, the emotional, in addition to like the mental space. And so not just what's pushed out, but also what's coming in. And so regardless to you know, what my expression could be, if I'm processing that information differently that comes in or comes at me, that's going to be the mental space, right? Mm-hmm. So everyone's processing can be different. And so a person might have some, need some support, right, in the way that they're processing. I can't help them with processing, but I can say people who desire emotional support and emotional health can talk about, like, when something happens, here's how you can begin to, you know, use this tool to go forward. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the main differences. I think it's about the expression, the navigation, sort of external, but what goes from you. Mm-hmm. And mental health is more going to be looking at more a three-pronged potential approach, and then how people's minds are processing information. And that's when you'll be able to tell, like, you know, if people have, you know, bipolar or just different mm-hmm. things. So how they're processing that information is going to look completely different, you know, for different people. And so a mental health professional will be helping in that space.
Yeah. So one of the things that I was thinking about as we talk about kind of processing our emotions and growing in emotional intelligence is how that also plays into the faith deconstruction space that a lot of us are walking through. And so I don't know if you have any insight from any kind of deconstruction that you might have done on how emotional health impacted that process for you, or how it helped you as you kind of grew in that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think my lenses are different now.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I read scripture, for example, now I'm definitely seeing the emotions playing out in the scripture. So prime example would be one of my favorite stories, even before the emotional space, and then later going back and saying, oh my gosh, it was there all along, I didn't even know, is the story of Mary, Martha, and Jesus. I remember when I finished going through like a lot of my therapy and certifications or whatever, I remember that story has just been sort of a guidepost, right? Just really helping me along, helping me to, it initially really very in a duality, right? In a binary, like be like Martha, be like Mary, right? Not helpful, but that's sort of where I was. And so I had spent a lot of my life, if you will, over functioning. And that comes out of anxiety more than anything, but I spent a lot of my life over functioning. I had this season where I really felt God giving me permission to just sit at Jesus's feet and learn and to be still. The way an old lady in the church once said, like, girl, you need to go and sit down somewhere, right? Like, you could just be doing way too much.
Uh-huh.
And so there was this season of just sitting like Mary. And so later, I come back to this story that really gave me, you know, this permission to reflect and to serve, but not it being like at the forefront of everything of who I am and all that I did. And I look back at the story and realize it's not really, for me, a story of just Mary and Martha, because Jesus is in that story as well.
Mm.
And in that story, Jesus says to Martha, 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 you are worried. In some translations, it says you are anxious. I was like, oh, Jesus, name her emotions.
Yeah. Please, like, oh, no.
Get out of here. And so, yeah. So one, the story becomes one, a story that's about Mary, Martha, and Jesus. And then two, it becomes a story about all these spaces, right? It becomes a story about head, heart, and hands for me. You know, the head, if you will, is Mary being still, sitting and learning at the feet of Jesus. The hands being Martha getting stuff done, and Jesus being the heart and actually naming the emotions. And so there's just something really beautiful about that. And I think when I'm approaching text, I'm seeing that emotional space all the time now. I probably have to pay attention to it, because probably everyone doesn't want a sermon over emotional health. But I think I think what happens is that's really a good starting place, though, right? Because we all have emotions and we're all experiencing them in some way. And so to be able to start naming those emotions for people and with people, mm-hmm. I think is important. I've shared with folks, you know, I I only knew three emotions: happy, sad, and pissed off. Like, that was pretty much it.
Yep.
And so, you know, to have someone help me cultivate an emotional vocabulary, become more emotionally literate. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I invite people to do, and Maddie's done this with me, is using the feelings wheel, which is one of my therapy, one of my therapy tools. And man, you know, some days I still didn't have the words, but I could look at the colors and be like, I think I'm feeling red, or I'm feeling mm-hmm. pink, or whatever it was. And that was just giving, you know, it's like, I would start there, and then I can look at those emotions and say, oh yeah, this might be it for me. I'm content, or there's a little confusion here, or I'm hopeful, but still cautious, or whatever, right? And that you can have all those emotions at one time. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was possible either. And so those are things that have really set me free. And I hope that, you know, in my leading, and my sharing, and my coaching, and my preaching, and all the things, my parenting, that I'm giving folks permission to, and creating space, safe space, brave space for people to feel and to name it, and to, support mm-hmm. them in whatever that looks like, hold that space for them.
Yeah,
absolutely. For people who have like been hurt by the church or walked away from the church, what importance do you think emotional health has towards healing in that space? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think absolutely being able to name it is first, because you can't do anything with anything you can't name. And so and it lessens the power over you. So being able to name what it is. Mm. I think the other thing that's really important, and this is my pastor heart, you know, speaking to folks, is that when whatever, any hurt, but I would say even particularly hurt from the church, when we compound it. So say I know what it feels like to be betrayed, and then the church betrays me. There's this compounding effect, right? Because it's not just the church that's betrayed me, right? It mm. is, you know, my best friend who I thought had my back, and then yeah. he did X, Y, and Z. Yeah. And so it is hard, you know, not that we have to necessarily separate all that out, but we do have to say like, hey, I've known betrayal, and this is more than just the church. You know, it is the church, and it's all these other things. And so to begin to potentially heal from all of those episodes, if you will, I think that is something that just it's messy. It's all tied in together. And it makes, of course, what happens when we go through trauma, betrayal, all the things that we can experience in church, mm-hmm. Even harder. And so I would say that would be one. Those are some things just to be mindful of. And then I know one of the hardest things is, you know, is community. When you have been hurt, and it's also one of the most healing things. And so there is just such a, one of the things we just cannot avoid is this space of vulnerability, which is courage. And it is hard, and we, you know, we test it out, we try it out just a little bit at a time. You know, we got to jump in full-fledged, you know, tiptoe around in the water. But I think part of our healing is going to come from being able to re-engage community, whatever that looks like. And so maybe it is going back to the church at some point, but maybe it's not, you know. Yeah. Maybe it looks like, you know, an intentional community that you form with other folks, and you all share together what your common practices will be. You know, there are other ways to be in community. I love the church. And I think, you know, we do have some churches that I hope people will check out, like mm-hmm. that can be safe places. I feel like every week I'm hearing this type of hurt that we're talking about. I'm hearing about that from people in my own congregation who've experienced that, but have found a place where they feel like, you know, they can admit that, heal from that, be part of groups, and you know, and mm-hmm. do the work,
right?
And I think this notion of doing the work is very real too. Like, it ain't gonna just mm-hmm. go away. You know, you're gonna have your season of being pissed and upset and all the things, and you know, to get through it. You'll have to get through, you have to go through it, literally through,
yeah.
right? Like not, it's not on the outskirts, and that's hard. That is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we can do hard things, but I think we, you know, we to do it, we need to go with other people. One or two folks who can, you know, really be a safe place to land.
Yeah.
And yeah. yeah, those are some of the things I think would, that would be helpful. But just know, I'm not saying it's an easy thing. And I, you know, likewise, have been, I'm working in a space right now with working with a group, and there are people in this group who remind me of some of the hurt that I've experienced.
Mm.
And so, like, you know, trying to be like, okay, I'm here in the present, right? Like, it's not back then when right. I was, you know, 25 and had thought I, one, knew everything, but also, you know, had some issues with, you right. know, particular type of men in authority or whatever, you know, what mm-hmm. I was really struggling with then. And so, like, I'm in a different place. Okay. Honor that, you know, acknowledge the emotions, you know, and see what they're connected to today. And so I definitely bless, love, and seek to protect folks who have been hurt. And I, when they allow me to be part of that journey with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would say get healed up.
Mm-hmm.
I just would say that. Like, I think it's, I mean, it would be easy to stay where you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'll say. It would be easy to stay, you know, and quote all the scriptures about why you don't need the church and all the things, because I've been there. I get it. And church can look a lot of ways, and allow God to be a balm in some ways for your emotional space and your healing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about all the times that I don't know. It's almost like you have this like wound, like it needs to be healed, but you move forward just kind of throwing a Band-Aid on it. And then you're like constantly dealing with that. And everyone else around you is then dealing with this thing because you're not dealing with it. And like, I have been there and I'm still there a lot of the time. But I think the spaces where I can see that the wound itself has healed and I'm able to move, that also then becomes something where I can appreciate it, recognize that it's there, use it to connect with other people and to form that community without it being this thing where they're like being re-triggered or re-hurt by this thing that I am hurt by also, which when I think about forming community with people who have been through similar experiences, that's been a huge thing for me, is I either need to surround myself with people who can help me to heal or recognize that as I've healed, there's a piece of me that I can share with other people to help them in their healing too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just thinking about, a whole group of hurt people. I'm not sure how well they can heal together, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Hurt people. And so there it is really, it's trying. Like, I don't, you know, that's why courage is what's needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, cause you know, the whole misery crew could stay together and, you know, not make that next step. And I really think that next step is like, trying to find community, whatever it looks like.
In doing that and in starting kind of this emotional health practice. So say someone's like, I'm on board with that. I have no idea where to start.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any first steps or activities or resources or routines or anything that you would recommend for people as they kind of get started? And is there anything that you do that perhaps people can connect with you as well that are listening that really love what it is that you have to say? Mm-hmm.
I think a couple of things that I've mentioned today, breathing is one. That literally is like taking 3 deep breaths. Like, just do it. So breathe. I think another tool, of course, is a feelings wheel. And I can give you all the link to the one that I use. You can put it in the show notes or what have you. But there are lots of different kinds. I like this one because it's just the one I was given and the one I use all the time. And with that, I'll just say, you know, what to do with it is to put it someplace easily accessible, like, you know, in your, take a picture of it, have it in your phone, make it your, you know, your screensaver, whatever, just have it readily available to remind you to check in every once in a while, like, what am I feeling right now or what have you. You know, I think some of the more, you know, assessment driven things are some of the things that I support people with. One of them is called unlocking your EQ. EQ stands for emotional quotient or emotional intelligence. And it's just a high level sort of assessment about how you function in three areas, which are called pursuits. One is knowing yourself, one is choosing yourself, and one is giving yourself. And so there are lots of other pieces up under each of those, but those three large categories, which I love, and I have joked to say that, like, if I were ever to start another church, like, this probably would be part of my vision statement, right? Because I think there's something really far. Like, we got to throw God in there somewhere, but I really think, like, know yourself, do yourself, give yourself. I think it's on to something. But knowing yourself has to do with just, you know, that emotional literacy we talked about, just knowing what emotions are and recognizing your patterns. That's where we need to start. Mm. So, like, when you're happy, what do you do? When you're sad, what do you do? And so sometimes, right, we can start, once you can know what you do and recognize those patterns and those emotions, you know, if I start eating ice cream, I might say, oh, I'm eating ice cream. I might be sad about something. I might need to back up and figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, right? And so just start to notice, what are your patterns? And so the unlocking your EQ helps you to start just getting a little bit of a glimpse of what that could look like and mean. The greater assessment is really breaks down each of those for people. There are 8 competencies as it relates to emotional intelligence, for example. And we go over those and give you support around living into that more fully. And when I work with people who want to do this as a spiritual practice, then, you know, we throw that in there in a different kind of a way, right? We talk about, you know, how that might look for a person to integrate their faith or quiet time or, you know, walks, all those kinds of things, and seeing all that as spiritual practices. You know, I think we have relegated spiritual practices sometimes to, I don't even know. I think anything that where we do it with some intentionality, like, I'm doing this because I feel like this will be part of who God is calling me to be, which is whole and connected to God, connected to others. I believe that is, and even connected to oneself. Like, I believe that's all holy. And sometimes we get it real, I don't know, I think we can get real narrow on that kind of stuff. You know, that it's, that it's, you know, so I think those are the kind of things that I think of, giving ourselves permission to have a broader understanding. And maybe even deeper connection, right? Like, there are a lot of things we do, I mean, throughout the day. And can those things be more deeply connected? And that doesn't mean it has to, I think it just starts with being mindful of it. Because half the time, we don't even know what we're doing because we're just doing it, you know? And that's what I really think spiritual practice is about, intentionality and discipline. Mm-hmm. And the discipline part is harder, but intentionality, I think you can start there and then work to maintain some discipline around it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Well, Charity, thank you for having this conversation and expanding on this, because I really think that creating space to grow in our emotional health is a big piece of the conversation that we're trying to have even on this show, because I think in order to ask hard questions and in order to think about things from a different perspective, you have to be aware of what you're feeling when you're asking those questions and why do you feel that way and what is the root of this thing? And a lot of that I feel like ties into that emotional space. And so I am really hopeful and prayerful that this will speak to a lot of the people that are listening, because I think it does relate so much to the experience of processing religion and how that plays into your relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important, I think, to just be able to understand ourselves. I like those three things you said of like knowing yourself,
choose yourself and give yourself.
Yes, I think those are, I mean, three amazing rules that everyone should live by.
Yeah. So those three are the model for emotional intelligence, or one of the models that I use, and so that I'm certified in. So it's not my work. So to be clear on that, but no, I appreciate you all saying that. I appreciate the work that you're doing to bring this to other folks. You know, one of the last things I'll say is that I have, you know, one of my critiques has been I have met a lot of people who have had more emotional maturity sometimes outside of the church than I have inside of the church. And that's just been my experience, let's just say up until now, right? Like, it just was very different. And it made me question. It still makes me question some things. And so I think that for you all to have this as a focus, you'll be contributing to just a healthier, more whole example of Christianity and what I would believe of who Jesus is, than perhaps what we have been, what we've harped on in the past that has really led people to be immature emotionally. So I think they go hand in hand. And yeah, this is exciting work. I'm grateful that you all are doing it. I pray the next generations of folks who call themselves followers of Jesus look different. They're different and make a greater impact because of it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us and share some of your wisdom. It was a joy to have you.
Thanks. Yeah. It's always so good to talk to you, Charity. I'm so excited. Awesome.
For more information about Pastor Charity's work, you can find her on Instagram at Charity Speaking Life. On this account, you'll see her work at The Gathering, some of her coaching content, as well as links to her book, Get Up, which you can find on Amazon, as well as on her page. You can also see more of Pastor Charity's work at Black Genius School on Instagram. This is an organization that she started that works to help Black families educate their elementary age children about Black and African history. It's amazing. They're doing awesome work. We highly recommend you check her out. You can find her on Instagram and Facebook, and definitely give her a follow.
Yes. She puts out some high quality content. 10 out of 10 recommend following her and keeping up with everything she does because she has a lot to offer. Friends, thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, subscribe to us on podcasting apps such as, I'm blanking, Spotify and Apple and all of them. And rate and review. Leave us a nice little message.
We love to read your messages.
Yeah, it's so sweet. They're so sweet. So yeah, thank you so much. You can also find us on Instagram at OhGodPod. And
check us out on Patreon. We got cool stuff happening there too.
Woo. Thanks, friends.
Love you so much. You're killing it.